As you heard earlier, we're beginning a new sermon series today. In the next 5 weeks, we're going to be talking about this verse in Philippians that was just read, and each week we'll take a closer look at one of the sections. So today it's verse 4, rejoice always. Paul wrote, rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say rejoice. So here's our question for today. Was Paul out of touch with reality? Rejoice always? I mean, come on. It's easy to rejoice when it's a nice spring day and it's about 75 degrees outside, or when it's Friday, or it's payday, or it's your birthday, or it's a holiday. Those are all times when we can rejoice. So it's one thing to rejoice when life is good, when things are going well. But how about today? It's April the 15th, and it is cold, and there is snow coming down. And some of you, you might even remember that it is tax day. Is that something to rejoice about? What if you're not getting a huge refund this year? What if you have to pay a lot of money? Is that something to rejoice about? So it's another thing entirely when the odds are against us. How about if you're in the hospital and you've got all kinds of tubes sticking out of every part of your body? Time to rejoice? What if you have pain and you're limping along this morning? Time to rejoice? What if you're unemployed and you've been that way for months? Are you going to rejoice? How about if you have a new baby, but the baby is born with a disability? Time to rejoice? Or how about if this is the day when you are burying your spouse? Rejoice always. I don't know, has Paul lost touch with reality? Is he in la-la land somewhere? How could he say rejoice always? Well, let's take a look. It's been about 30 years since Paul had his Damascus Road experience, a time when he encountered Jesus. When he saw him there, remember, Paul had been one who had oppressed the Christians. Then he met Jesus and things changed dramatically. And since then, he's been preaching the gospel, going all over the Mediterranean, every port, every city. And he's not always well received. In fact, he's been beaten 5 times, nearly to the point of death. It's said that 40 lashes will kill you, so he's had 39 5 times. And he's been beaten with rods 3 times. He's been shipwrecked, he's almost starved to death, he's been through storms, his friends have abandoned him, and now he's in jail. In fact, any day, the Emperor Nero is going to cut his head off. Rejoice? How can you, as Paul says, be anxious for nothing? There's all kinds of stuff in life to be anxious for, isn't there? Let's all agree this morning, okay? Can we say that the presence of anxiety is unavoidable? Raise your hand if you would agree with that. The presence of anxiety is unavoidable. I would suggest that as long as airplanes fall out of the sky, as long as bear markets continue on, I would say as long as there is financial hardship, I would say as long as there are people on earth, as long as there are terrorists, that anxiety is unavoidable. So what we're talking about over these next 5 weeks is not the presence of anxiety, but rather the prison of anxiety. We don't have to live that way all the time. It doesn't have to confine us nor define us. In fact, Jesus said, you will have trouble in this world. Turn to the person next to you and say, you will have trouble in this world. You will have trouble. All of us are going to have trouble. It is inevitable because we live in a fallen, sin-filled world. Bad things happen. And yet Jesus said, I have overcome the world. Peace can come about not due to a lack of problems, but rather through the presence of Jesus. And so as we begin to put new tools in our toolbox, it all begins with relinquishing control. We all like to be in control, don't we? We all like to have certainty. We all want to know exactly what is going to happen next. We want to be the captain of our destiny. We want to be in the driver's seat. And yet, you can do everything right and bad things can still happen. You can exercise every day. You can eat only veggies and nuts. You cannot drink or smoke. You can take care of your body. And you can still die tomorrow. You can be the best driver in the world. You can be cautious and safe. And yet if someone else is drunk or texting, you can die. There will be trouble in this world. Peace begins when we begin to relinquish control. So let's take a look at just what that might look like.
God, I've decided to give you this.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, you know, Kathleen, that whoever sits here makes all the decisions.
I know, and I make a lot of decisions.
Yes,
but,
do.
You know, you make perfect ones. So why don't you just come right over here, take a seat, and you can start making them.
Well, I'm honored. Thank you very much.
Yeah.
Ah, feels good.
Oh. Hello?
Hi, Kathleen. Guess what?
Hey.
I just got my new credit card, and it's time to go shopping.
Oh, I thought that you were trying to pay off debt with your husband.
Oh, yeah. Well, I mean, money is kind of tight, but I figured he doesn't have to know about it. So do you want to go with me?
No.
No?
No.
Why?
I don't know. Let me check my calendar, and I'll get back to you.
Okay. Give me a call.
Okay. Bye.
Kat?
Yeah?
What's going on here?
What do you mean?
Well, we're kind of one-cheeking it.
Oh.
Yeah, I just want to make sure we're on the same page. You wanted me to sit here, right?
Well, of course.
And whoever sits here makes all the decisions, right?
Right.
So what's the problem?
There is no problem.
Okay.
I'm sorry. I don't know what I was thinking. Yes, here, take a seat.
All right. Well, if you're sure.
I'm sure.
Okay. All right. Ah, well, we'll just start all over again. So, Kat, noticed you've been losing your temper a lot lately.
What? God, I know what you're going to say, okay?
You do?
And you just don't have the whole situation.
Well, your attitude is a decision, Kat.
Well, I have a lot on my plate.
I know you do. I know you are under a lot of pressure.
God, you don't know anything about my pressure.
Oh, Kat. This isn't working. We can't both sit on the stool. It's either me or it's you.
I know. I didn't know it would be this hard. Here, just take it.
I'm not going to just take it. You have to give it to me.
Okay, well then here.
Kathleen, make a choice.
I can't.
You just did.
Peace begins with relinquishing control, giving it over to Jesus. Here's the thing, you cannot run the world, but there is someone who can. In fact, there's someone who does, someone who created it. So you can't run the world, but you can entrust it to God. You can entrust your world to the Lord. So when Paul says, rejoice in the Lord always, this is not a call to a feeling. So you're not always going to feel wonderful and great and joyful, but rather it's a call to a decision to put God in control of your life. There are three things that I would like for you to remember. It's in the very next point there in your notes. First of all, we can all be confident that God exists. Secondly, that He is in control. And third, that He is good. There is a God. He's in control of the universe, the same one that He has made. and he is good. This is what he wrote to the Ephesians. He said, "Our God works out everything in conformity to the purpose of his will." You might circle that word everything. It's not just some things or a few things, but everything in conformity to the purpose of his will. Now, does that mean that bad things won't happen? No. Paul was beaten. Is that a good thing? Usually not. Paul was in prison. Is that a good thing? Usually not. Paul had friends abandon him. Is that a good thing? Usually not. Not only that, he had started a number of churches that were always fighting amongst each other. Is that a good thing? Usually not. And yet, he writes to the Romans that all things work together for the good. Not all things are good, but all things work together for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose. And so even though Paul is beaten and he is put in prison, it gives him an opportunity to preach the gospel to those who imprisoned him. And many of them became believers in Jesus Christ, a very good thing. And those churches, a lot of the preachers were motivated by pride and envy. And yet Paul writes they still preach the gospel of Jesus Christ, a very good thing. So not everything is good that happens in our lives, and yet God can use it for our good. So as we take a look there, let's just use a little example. Let's pretend we're all 10 years old. Can you do that? Pretend you're 10. It's a good age, right? Enjoyed being 10. So you're all 10 years old, and let's also pretend that your father is the foremost orthopedic surgeon in the world. Can you do that? You're 10 years old and your father is the foremost orthopedic surgeon in the world. People come from all over to him. And they have their knees and their shoulders and their ankles and all of these joints replaced by him. So you're 10, you're not old enough really to understand exactly what your father does, but you're old enough to fall down the stairs and sprain your ankle. So there you are, just lying there, writhing in pain, yelling out, "Help me, help me," and here comes your father, the orthopedic surgeon, still in his surgical scrubs. And he comes in, he takes off your shoe, he peels back your sock, he touches that tender spot, and he goes, "Dad, I'll never walk again." And he says, "Yes, you will." And he goes, "Dad, nobody can help me." And he says, "Yeah, I can." And he says, "Dad, you don't know anything about it." And he says, "Yeah, I kind of do. Do you know what I do for a living?" he says. "Well, not really. I know you're a doctor. I know you go to the hospital every day. I know Mom thinks you're kind of smart. But no, I really don't know." So as your father puts the ice pack on your ankle, he says, "You know, tomorrow you're going to see what I do." And so the next day he picks you up after school there in the parking lot. You get in the car, limping along on your crutches. And you go, and there in his office, you see all of these diplomas. It says MD behind it. And not just diplomas, but there are plaques. And they say things like honorable and distinguished. And there on his desk, there's a huge book. It's got his name on it. It's a textbook. And you go, "Dad, did you write that?" He goes, "Yeah, I did." Then the cell phone pings. He has a text. Looks, "Hey, it's time for surgery. Come on, scrub up. You're going to see what I do." And you go into the operating room. There's a nurse there, and she whispers, and she says, "Your dad is the best. Did you know that? He's worked on celebrities and actors and politicians. Everybody comes to him. He's the best. And here's your dad. He doesn't take advice from anyone. He doesn't consult with anyone. He is in complete command of this theater." And he replaces someone's ankle. And there, over the next 2 hours, you get to see exactly how good he is. Now, on the way home, on the ride home, you see your father in an entirely different light. And so, this time, when you ask him, "Dad, do you think I'll be able to play in my baseball game in a couple of weeks?" And he says, "Yes, absolutely you will. You believe him." You see, your anxiety decreases, doesn't it, as your understanding of your father increases? And so it is. Your anxiety in this life decreases as your understanding of your heavenly father increases. as your understanding that God not only exists, but He is in total control of everything. And He is good, and He loves you. You know He loves you because He sent His only Son to die on the cross. And every time we see that cross, we are reminded of the sacrifice, the depths of love that our Father will go to for us. And we are reminded how good He is because that Son was raised from the grave so that not only is there life, but there is God's presence even in the midst of trouble. Look at some of the Bible verses that are in your notes. These are the kinds of things that we need to fill our minds with to achieve this peace that we so desire. God is the Creator who is blessed forever. God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. The same God who created the universe. The same God who after each day said, "Behold, it is good," is still with us. And His years will never end. And so, my friends, your biggest fears, whatever they might be about the future or the present, whatever is stressing you out, whatever is worrying you about your family or your finances or your health, all of these to God are sprained ankles, aren't they? To the Creator of the universe, the One who holds everything in His hands. And so when others see the problems of the world and they wring their hands, what are we going to do? What are we going to do? As children of the Heavenly Father, we can see the very same problems and we can bend our knees and we can look up to the Lord who holds everything, including us, in His control. When you think about it, we have a God who can arch an eyebrow, and a million legions of angels will turn and salute. That's pretty good to have someone like that on our side. And so instead of continuing to fill our mind with fear and stress and worry and anxiety, we instead fill our minds with God. And that is where calm and peace begin. Over these next 5 weeks, we are going to learn this acronym. And each week we'll see another verse that will help us remember how to remain calm. So if you want to fill in the blanks, the C stands for celebrate. Celebrate God's goodness. Instead of being afraid of what might happen, instead praise the Lord for all the good things that He has already done. And then ask for God's help. Don't carry the weight of the world. How many of you were at the Good Friday service at the historic church? Several of you were. We do wonderful things on Good Friday. Usually every year we take these nails and we put them in the cross. Not my favorite thing, because it reminds me that I helped crucify my Lord. So this year I really enjoyed when Amy came up with the idea of the rocks. And what we did is we took a stone about this big and we wrote our sins on them. My rock was not nearly big enough, couldn't get them all on there. And then we placed them at the foot of the cross, reminding ourselves that we don't have to carry them around. God has forgiven them and He has forgotten them, and He will carry it for us. Couldn't we write our anxieties as well? Of course we could. All of our stress, all of our worry, all of those things can go on the rock and go to the foot of the cross. So ask God for help, and then leave your concerns with Him. Don't carry them around. And finally, meditate on God's goodness, the good things. Raise your hand if any good thing ever happens to you. Anybody? You ever have good things? Yeah, a few good things. Focus on that. So let me close with this. In my very first church, as a rural congregation, had about 100 people, and so I spent a lot of my time just going and hanging out with people. Go see what they did, go to their workplace, go to their homes, visit with them. I had a guy And he said, Pastor, I have an airplane, and I want to take you up in it. I go, wow, that sounds pretty exciting. Never been up in, you know, in a private plane before, so now I get to go ride with this guy in an airplane. Well, until I saw it. It only holds two people. And I don't like small spaces. I don't like elevators. I don't like caves. I don't like the little tiny bathrooms on big airplanes. So we get in, and the plane takes off, kind of a bumpy ride. I'm getting a little nervous. I'm holding onto the seat. I said, you know what you're doing there, Ron? Yeah, oh, yeah, yeah. Don't worry about it. I am in complete control. Nothing to worry about. Well, I was kind of worried when, well, we didn't go very high. We didn't go very fast, but those silos were only about this far below the wheels, or so it seemed. Finally, because I'm so nervous and I keep, you know, he says, Pastor, why don't you just let me fly the plane and you can enjoy the ride? That is what God is saying to each and every one of you. Will there be troubles in this life? Of course there will. But let's let God fly the plane. He's in total control, and there is nothing that he cannot handle. And let's just enjoy the ride. We may not always feel like rejoicing, but we can make that decision to trust in the Lord, to relinquish control to him, to know that he not only is in control, but he is good, and he loves us. And all things do indeed work together for the good of those who love him. Let's rejoice. Let's rejoice in the Lord always and be filled with his peace. Amen.